Thank you. Praise the Lord. Everybody doing okay? We have, let me just give you a little preaching schedule. We have two more weeks and then we're going to get back to the Gospel of John. So we're going to do the parable of the soils today. And then next week we're going to do the 10 lepers. Now the 10 lepers is not a parable, but there's some parabolic meaning to it. So we'll do that next week. But this week we want to do by God's grace, the parable of the soils. But first I want to go to the mighty book of Isaiah. I want to go to the mighty book of Isaiah, if I may. You know, most scholars say that Isaiah is known as the fifth gospel, as it speaks a lot about or prophesies a lot about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think it's no different here as we open this up. And I am, it's almost in fear and trembling, Shorty, that we preach God's word. We are in a time and an age where the gospel is being watered down, but not here. We are, by God's grace, going to uphold his word. We are going to speak the truth. Because we know that if we do not water down the truth, only the truth in its fullest form, George, can save people. And Isaiah is going to deal with that himself. So, no further ado, let's go to the sixth division of Isaiah. And I want to read the first seven verses before I expound, if I may. Let me get my ducks in a row here. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, Isaiah speaking, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is what? Forgiven." Let me just, listen, I can preach an hour on this one thing I'm going to say now, but I'm not, but I can. In the year King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Earthly kings will come and go, but we have a king on the throne that lives forever. See, this is a great picture, and King Uzziah had some faults like we all do, but here King Uzziah had died, but our God never dies. He's continuing on the throne. He's continuing on the throne. And in fact, you give this holy triesagon, holy, holy, holy. And even the angels, the seraphim, they cover their face, they cover their feet because they walk on holy ground. And there's a great picture, even the holy angels, the sinless angels in front of this majestic God. They have to cover themselves. And the Bible depicts that Isaiah was undone. He was undone. He says, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." Please understand, Isaiah was a priest. He was a priest. But in God's presence, whether it's angels, whether it's priests, whether it's... we are all guilty and sinning before a holy God. And this is the picture here, the prophet Isaiah. Last week, remember we talked about that not anyone can stand before a holy God. Remember last week, the garments of the high priest Joshua were changed. Remember, from the filthy garments to the clean garments. In this context, Isaiah had to be purified with a burning coal from the altar so he can stand on God's presence. Once he was filthy, and now he's purified, his iniquity taken away, his sin forgiven. What's that a picture of? What's that a picture of? How are our sins forgiven today? We have a holy God that took our sins, a God in Christ that was sin, who knew no sin, that we can become the righteousness of Christ. What a picture. We stand guilty before a holy God. We are guilty. We cannot stand in His presence. But because of Christ, because of what He did, we are now part of the people of God. What a picture. What a picture of what this entails here for Isaiah. This is what Christ did for us. He takes on the wrath of a holy God. See, God has to pour His wrath on sin, does He not? He poured His wrath on His own Son for us. Unbelievable. And here's a picture of that. As the coal burns Isaiah's lips, and now he's clean. And as Oswald depicts, having known with certainty that he, Isaiah, was going to be crushed into non-existence by the very holiness of God, he receives an unmerited gift, a cleansing by the purifying hot coal. And what does he do? He wants to throw himself into God's service. And we're going to read that. When God has touched one's life, if somebody is truly a believer, this is what you live and breathe for. And I think about Isaiah as a priest. I mean, doing his priestly duties. But here, in this purifying moment, we're going to see what he says in a second. The next few verses we're going to read are tough scriptures. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Oswald, one of the better commentators on Isaiah, said not many people preach past verse 8. Not many people preach past verse 8. But we're going to go past verse 8 if we may. Most of all sermons in Isaiah conclude with verse 8 because of the disturbing character of the remainder of the chapter. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Far be it from us that we would not preach past, we would not preach past verse 8 when Jesus himself preached past verse 8. And we'll see that when we get to the next set of scriptures in the New Testament. Try to say that fast 3 times. Preach past verse 8. I got it. Okay, so here's Isaiah's commission. Here's Isaiah's commission starting in verse 8. Please, Ashley, if I may, 1 and 8. Thank God for Ashley. She had some dental work done, but she's back and she's where she needs to be. Thank you, Miss Ashley. Isaiah's commission. So here he is. His mouth has been touched. He's been cleansed. His iniquity forgiven. His sin forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, how long? In other words, Isaiah is saying, how long are these people not going to hear? Why won't they hear? And then the Lord says, until cities are devastated without inhabitants. Houses are without people. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away and forsaken places, many in the midst of the land, and there will be a tenth, a portion in it. And it will again be subject to burning or forgiveness, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump, when it is felled, the holy seed is the stump. Listen, God's going to have a remnant. He's going to have a stump. Though everybody else falls, everybody else is disobedient, he is going to have a remnant. That's the stump. That's the stump. The good news, there'll be a holy remnant remaining, the holy stump, verse 13. The bad news is the ones that Isaiah preached will not see or hear his message. They will not understand it, cannot discern it or perceive it. And this is by divine mandate, is it not? This is by divine mandate. Here we have in this verses, we have temporal judgment, captivity, houses left desolate. And this is picturing the Babylonian captivity that's going to come about. In verse 9, as Oswald reminds us, the disease of pride and rebellion had gotten to a point where they cannot perceive what they hear as being true. Their ears are dull. Their eyes are dim. Their hearts are insensitive. What a commission. Shorty, what a commission. Go out and preach the gospel, Larry, but nobody's going to hear. They're not going to hear. So what is our inclination when we go out and we preach and people are saying, you know, they don't hear and they don't see and they're just, oh, that stuff is too hard and think about the world today. I'm asking a question. So what do we do? What's the question? What happens today? Because the message becomes real hard. What happens? What do people do? Jan, they soften the message. They soften it. They want people to hear it. They want people to perceive it. But they're watering down the truth. They're watering it down. Because they want people to flock to them. They want their churches to be filled. Now you hear this. See, Isaiah would not do this. How long, O Lord? And this is a stark message for churches and for preachers, because Isaiah sees that he's preaching and no one is seeing, no one is hearing. And basically verse 10 says, Isaiah's preaching will not make it easy to repent and believe, but it has the opposite effect. His preaching will make it more difficult because hearts were hardened. The Bible says we preach life unto life and death unto death. But the problem is, Mary, we want to soften the message because we want our pews to be filled. We want people to hear it and say, oh, I can grasp that. But the Lord says, come and die. And this is the message that Isaiah is proclaiming. So here's this. Here's my synopsis before we get to the soils. More important than superficial repentance is the preaching of God's truth. Let God be true and every man what? A liar. Right? One must never alter the truth to get a positive response. That's Oswald, what he says. We must never preach to itchy ears. We must never preach to itchy ears. We have to preach the truth. And this is Isaiah here with this commission. Because here's something you can keep in your watch pocket. Listen to this. But by being faithful with the truth, though it does not save that present generation, it would save future generations, because the truth is preserved, even though Isaiah asks how long. And because the truth is preserved, hear this, it gets to live on. You don't snuff it out with false doctrine. Because the truth is preserved, it gets to live on. And in verse 13, a remnant would remain, a holy stump. There will be an offspring that will be the Lord's. Because he's never left without witness. Never. Oh, preacher man, you preach hard. I mean, come on. We don't want to hear about that hell stuff. And no. But it doesn't matter, because God's people will always hear the truth. Not stuff that they want to hear. They'll always hear the truth. It's a tough lesson for a pastor. It's a tough lesson to Isaiah. Look at Jeremiah. I'm reading through the book of Jeremiah. 40 years, no converts. None. What kind of church? He went there, nobody went and listened to him. The ones who went to listen to him, the Lord says, listen, they love your words, they basically, because Jeremiah was like, I'm not going to do this, but Jeremiah was like a singing preacher. And he was called a weeping prophet. But he says, oh, they love your songs and, you know, they love your sermons, but their heart is far from what you're saying. And this is Isaiah's commission. So with that, let's go to our New Testament control, and we will see the mystery of the kingdom. There's your address, Miss Ashley. There's the name of your sermon. The mystery of the kingdom. Miss Ashley always tried to get me at the end to hear it. Let me just see if I got to start reading this right. I do. Okay, listen. I'm going to come down and hang out with you guys. I don't think I can because, okay, let me do it this way. Go to Matthew 13. Follow me along because, remember, let me tell you how important what we're going to study this morning is. Gave you a little backdrop. The only reason I mentioned Isaiah because the Lord does, but I'm not going to go through the Lord in Matthew's account mentions the whole text of Isaiah that we just read. But I'm going to just mention a snippet of it when we get to Luke. The parable of the soils, people want to say it's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the soils, because that's what's at stake here. In fact, my wife is going to kill me for this. Look at the front of the bulletin. Look at the front of the bulletin. She's got a picture of the different soils or the hearts on the bulletin. But that's a story for another day. I want to read this text. And I want to go from chapter 13 in Matthew from 1 to 8, and then from 18 to 23, and then I'm going to go to Luke 8, and then I'm going to expound on it. The 13th chapter of Matthew, starting in verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds. As he sowed some seeds, fell behind the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, we're going to go to verse 18, but if you see the middle from 10 to 17, is that whole Isaiah text that we just spoke about. But I'll mention it briefly in Luke, starting in verse 18. Good job, Ashley. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown, the seed was sown what? Beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This is stark now, listen to this. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word and becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Go to Luke. Parallel passage, but I want to bring something out. We can never read enough of God's word. It's a parallel passage. There's also a parallel passage in Mark. I won't go over that this morning. Starting in verse 4. A large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying into him. He spoke by way of parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. Other seed fell into good soil, grew up, produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now the disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. Now hear this. And he said, to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables. So they seeing, they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Can you imagine? Here the Lord says, for you, for my people, you would understand. But for the rest, he goes back to the prophet Isaiah. I will speak, but they will not see. And I will preach, and they will not hear. Now watch this. And now he gives him the explanation. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they will not believe and be saved. Here's the rocky soil hearers. These are the stark ones. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while. Now hear that. And in time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with what? The big word, perseverance. I am a true believer in perseverance of the saints. I'll explain what that is in a second. Now, Wenham is helpful in articulation. Jesus, in his earthly dwelling, came from a farming community, did he not? He came from a farming community. And the yield of crops depicted how well the lower class economy would fare. I mean, farmers and the crops in those days were huge. If there was any famines or no lack of rainfall, the lower class communities would starve. Now, please note the parable's not about the sower. It's not about the seed. It's about the soil. Or better, it's about the heart, represented by the soils. And if you look at your bulletin, that's why I'm glad Rachel found out. Notice the four people, the four hearers, it's all about the heart. And notice the faces on these people too. Whoever did this is a good theologian who made that. This parable is mentioned, Barbara, in 3 Gospels. How important do you think this is if the Lord had this mentioned by His Spirit in 3 Gospels? It shows the importance of this teaching. The Bible depicts a farmer goes out to what? To sow his seed. Haney depicts the seed represents the gospel. The sower is anyone who proclaims the gospel, the word of the kingdom. And the seed is sown in a person's heart. This is where we're going with this. This is a stark picture of what we're going to see. Now, here's the 4 soils represent 4 type of people. And most scholars depict, now this is hard stuff, most scholars depict that in your churches today, you have these 4 types of people. In the churches. This is not for... People say all the time, oh, that's for them. No, they say... Remember, Jesus was in front of a large crowd. In the churches today, they said there's 4... These 4 hearers are in the churches. The problem is, Glinda, the problem is only 25% of them really get it. This is a stark picture. Now, this is something that Jesus said. And he's given this by way of parable. And it's the what? It's the mystery of the kingdom. That's what this is about. Some will see, some will not see. Now, we live in a world, you've heard me say this before, that introduces us to snippets of argumentation, snippets, just pieces of information. If we watch the news, we never get the whole story. We never get it. We get a piece here, a piece there, a piece there, right? Well, the first soil, right, that receives the message is called the road hearers. And according to Haney, these hearers do nothing with the word. They don't recognize its full significance. The birds who represent Satan snatch it away. It was a snippet of argumentation, and it was nothing more. These people have an easily detached heart. Now, this is really sad, especially if we have people in the church like this. This is really sad. A lot of people look at, now here's something. A lot of people look at the devil behind every doorknob. But I want you to hear this. When the message is preached, the bird snatches it out of his heart. Who's the bird represent? Satan, always. Snatches out. So if you are one of these hearers, you need to recognize how much this word is enveloped in your heart, because these are eternal consequences that one must pay. Am I right? Now, these are serious matters here, especially if in the church we have four different individuals like this. So the first one, the thing is here, it says that a lot of people look at the devil behind every doorknob, but here's a biblical truth. The devil wants to make the gospel of non-effect. If this is happening in your life, we must war against it. Rocky places. This is the scary one for me. This is the scary one. The rocky places. The seed sown on rocky places. These are superficial hearers, without realizing its full significance or the demands it takes on one's life. Now, the Luke account is stark. Luke depicts this seed grows for a while, or better, they believe for a while. But how long is a while? I'm going to give you some examples. How long? So this is stark. That's why I kept it here in Luke. It says they believe for a while. So we love each other. I love you guys. When you read that, how long do you think is a while? This is a big question. This is a big question. They believe for a while. So when you read that, what do you think, Rach? A day? A week? How about 20 years? How about 30 years? Now think about what's happening. I'm going to give you some examples of this. Now remember, no one in this room, and this woman will tell you, believes in persevering to the saints more than me. If you're truly one of God's people, you're going to finish. But this is a stark picture. This is a stark picture. It says they believe for a while. Think about this. Cotmonell, a pastor in, I think, Texas, right, Rachel? In his sermon on these same passages, talks about Charles Templeton, who preached alongside Billy Graham for many years, but he died an atheist. 20 years he preached beside Billy Graham, and he died an atheist. Dan Barker, 19 years of preaching, is now an advocate of freedom from religion. Cotmonell calls this a slow fade. The riches and the pleasures of the life defeat them. Paul, in 2 Timothy, when he's asking Timothy to come and visit him, he depicts that Demas, who loved this present world, had deserted him, a slow fade back into the world, one who stood by Paul's side, now gone. Writer of Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Here is a slow fade from the living God. Let me repeat myself. No one believes in the perseverance of the saints more than me. This is a stark passage. Miss Carolyn, they believe for a while. 19 years? 20 years? And then it's over. perseverance of the saints. Miss Kathy, listen to your pastor. I can't see the future. Now, I know God can, and God knows his people, but we got to persevere. Because this passage here is chilling. It's chilling. You got a guy 20 years in the ministry, dies an atheist? 20 years. Man, you need to listen. Man, you need to listen to this. Me first. You know, you think about Jesus teaching in these parabolic forms, and he tells his people, he says, you will hear, but they will not. And I think about this, and this second set of hearers is stark. You know, some churches, according to Wells, has adopted a sort of cocktail party-like atmosphere, serving up pleasantries and trying to avoid unpleasantness. They preach to itchy ears. I don't care, Rachel. I don't care. Yes, seminary. Yes, I've been a Christian now for 12 or 13 years. And by God's grace, I want to stay Trump tight. I want to stay close. Because it says they believe for a while. Doesn't say, Joyce. Doesn't say they believe for 5 days, 8 days, 2 weeks. I know people that said they believe for 20 years. And they fell away. Yes. Yes, Harlan. We know they were never saved. We know that theologically. The problem is this is stark. Anyway, for me, it is. Remember, now hear this. Remember, what you win them with, you win them to. And that is how you have to keep them. So the gospel becomes of non-effect because it's not absolute truth, but relative truth to itching ears. Listen, this is why I do this, because this is what I want to win you to. I want to win you to the truth, so I keep you with the truth. If I win you with something else, then I got to keep you with something else, and that stuff just becomes a fad. If I got to win you because I'm going to give you a raffle ticket when you walk in the door, then if that doesn't happen, then I got to give you a corned beef sandwich. And that don't work, then I got to take you to a restaurant. No, the thing is, if you win them with the truth, you keep them with the truth. Man, that's hard stuff. You know, you got places today, you go in there, they want to give you a bicycle and give you a raffle to a car and free air, whatever it is. I want to win you to the truth because then I can keep you with the truth through the God, the Holy Spirit. This is hard stuff, man. Especially when Jesus says, some people won't hear. Their hearts have been hardened. Well, that's not fair. Who are we to say what's fair? How do we know what's fair, Mary? You're going to start telling, I'm going to start telling you what's fair. That's hard, bud. It's hard. It's challenging. But it's the gospel. And we have to be challenged because if we want to be a church on the move, if, you know, yes, and you know this, Kathy, you know, all the Kathys know this, because if we're preaching rightly, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to stay on our knees. We're going to have to stay in prayer. Because there's so much falsehood, Jan, being preached today. Looking back on Isaiah text, this is exactly what Isaiah was talking about. This is why Jesus quoted it concerning the parable of the soils, which is the mystery of the kingdom revealed to, listen, Joyce, George, listen. There's four different type of hearers. Who gets it? Only the 25%. Please hear me. Please, I cry as a town crier. Only 25% of the hearers are truly God's people. How can we not think about this? In our own hearts, me first, you can, okay, listen, he'll be done in 15 minutes, hopefully. He'll be done in 15 minutes. And you know, and he let him rant and rave. I'm doing this because I love you guys. I see this stuff and it's stark. I asked my wife last night. I was on the couch and I says, I know, it's hard stuff, man. 25%. But for us like Isaiah, the truth must not be diminished. Despite the enemy blinding the eyes, veiling the gospel for some people, but for others, it will be life from the dead. Do you understand? If you are truly a Christian, you are going to live forever. And I can't sell you fire insurance. But there's a lot at stake, Miss Beth. There's a lot at stake here. For all of us, me first. The Bible says this, Apollos plants, Paul plants, Apollos waters. Who grants the increase? God. Again, this is a farming metaphor, and it depicts the sovereign work of God using the preaching of the gospel for all who respond. What did the prophet Haggai say? Consider your ways. Me first, Rachel. Consider my ways. Sonny, consider your ways. Donna, consider your ways. Glinda, consider your ways. Congregation, consider our ways. The hardest preacher I know, Miss Mary, the toughest preacher I know is Jesus Christ. The toughest preacher I know. And you got people today behind pulpits making this like squishy sand. And this was the toughest preacher I knew. He told you the truth. That's what we want to hear is the truth, no matter how hard it is. Patty, we need the truth. I need the truth. I don't want to be lied to no more. I've been lied to my whole life. And here Jesus tells us only a quarter of the church are truly his people. Almost done, Miss Joyce. The challenge of the text is the acknowledgement of Christ's message, the ones who are wholeheartedly committed to it. But they are not. They fall away. Some after many years of superficial belief. Now, the third soil. The Bible depicts in Jeremiah, till the untilled ground, but do not plant among thorns. According to Bach, the third group of seed falls in good ground, but it shares the ground with greedy neighbors. And that's who? Thorns. These are the thorny hearers. You know, Wenham reminds us that the Bible depicts we must persevere. But these hearers go on their way. They receive it, but later depict that the gospel puts too many demands on their life. This is another crew, Marilyn. The gospel puts too many demands on their life. Now they get it, they believe it, but they don't supernaturally believe it. Because if they supernaturally believed it, they would persevere. But they don't persevere. This is another stark verse here. Now I'm going to tell you why. Cottonmanell nails this. Because you know what? If you persevere, you're going to be socially martyred. Let me say that again. If you do persevere, if you truly are a Christian, you're going to be socially martyred. And maybe even martyred. But you're definitely, Miss Kathy, definitely going to be socially martyred. For sure. They cave in. They're choked out with the worries, the riches, the pleasure. The cost of discipleship was too high a price. But just think the farmer. Think about the farmer. If he thought like this, he would be in trouble because he knows the soil takes time to what? Produce. So when the pressures come up for this rocky soil here, he folds. Lack of commitment is another problem in today's worldview. Lack of commitment. Today, you marry somebody, you don't like the way they cook, go get another wife. Lack of commitment. You don't like your gender? You can be another gender. No, we live in a world that teaches superficiality. George, when you were a kid, divorce you heard few and far between. Today, Miss Joyce, my wife gained a little weight or she got too skinny and I don't like the way she makes the sauce, I'm going to get somebody else. You never heard about that, George. You never heard about those things, sir. You never did. Because we're superficial in our hearts. Miss Ann, we don't want commitment. We don't want commitment. And Jesus tells us we have to be committed to the gospel. It's our life. Rachel, what did Luther say? If you're going to sin, sin hard. Why soft stroke this thing? Really? Perseverance. This is, look at the fourth hearer. I think I'm done with the third hearer. But the fourth hearer, look, lack of commitment, right? Okay, so Haney depicts these hearers have loose emotional attachments to the church. They hear in body, but their commitment is far from Christ. This shallow commitment will eventually what? Fall away. They're going to fall away. Now look at the fourth group of seeds. They land on what? Good what? Soil. And overcoming the obstacles present, grows to bear more seed. The yield is 100-fold because they what? They persevered. That's the sign of a Christian. The sign of a true Christian is they persevere. Well, I've been a Christian 18 years. Wait still. Yes, I pray. Okay, I'm with you. I wish you were a Christian another 38 years. And I pray you will be. But perseverance is a God thing. You don't know what tomorrow brings. We know that. We persevere. We fight every day. We're enlisted in this army that the Bible says if we're enlisted in this one army and if we don't stay there, we'll drift off into the world. The writer of Hebrews talks about people that were once enlightened, one tasted of the heavenly gift. But at the end of the day, they were truly not God's people. First of all, let me ask you a question. You guys still love me, right? Donna? Listen, you, Carolyn? You know I love you guys. You know that. Larry? Love me, right? Harlan, you're not going to lock your doors when I come by the house anymore, right? Sue, I can still come over anytime I want. No more now. Now only once a week. George, if we don't preach the truth, who's going to preach it? We have to preach it. And this is hard stuff. It's not easy, Ann. You know, or else we don't want to get deceived. I don't want none of you. I love you guys. Listen, Bach reveals since parables contain mysteries, they have a positive function for those who embrace Jesus. But those who do not embrace Jesus, the parables are not interpreted and they remain a mystery. This is what Isaiah was talking about. This should not discourage the preacher as it did not discourage the farmer. Eventually, by God's grace, he will grant the increase for his people. That's all we can do, Ben. All we can do is sow the word. I don't know what soil. They all look, listen. You know, there's a plant. This is, okay, I got it. Thank you. Wheat's in the, I'm not a, what do you call them? Horticulturist? Is that a farming guy? No? No, what's a plant? You don't know? Rachel says, why are you asking me? I don't know. You're going to take that off the tape. What's the farm? What's the plant people? Oh, see, thank you. Horticulturist. Do you know, listen, you know the parable about the, you ready for this one, Donna? I'm going to give you some horticulture. You know the parable of the wheat and the tares? You know that one, right? Remember it says, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. Now there's a darnel plant. It looks just like, don't give it away, Rachel. Now you want to tell everybody because you know it, right? Listen, I'll tell you next week. No, I'm only kidding. Jan, I'm only teasing. Listen, there is a wheat that grows up. You listening, Sue? Write this down. No, I'm only kidding. There's a wheat plant that grows up. And there's a darnel plant that grows up. And they look exactly like each other. You can't tell the difference until just about when it's time to bud. And then the darnel plant is poison. And they have to go pick the poison plant from the wheat. But they all look the same. Now hear me. Hear this. Everybody looks the same as they're growing up. But when it comes to fruition, the poison plant has to be picked out. And that's what the farmers do. That's your horticulture lesson for today. And that's exactly when Jesus teaches about the wheats and the tares. He says, let them grow together. And then I'll separate the wheat from the tares. Joyce, last page. I'm serious. Fitzmaier depicts that God in his judgment removes the benefits of revelation for some, but that is not our business. That's God's business. Harlan, we must continue to preach the gospel and compel them to come in. Invite them in. The gospel is under attack on so many levels. We must never alter the truth so we'll make people be more responsive. The seeker-sensitive movements are attractive, but they fall short of the truth. I want to try to somebody see what Rachel's writing down over there. Just sticking with our farming analogy, let nobody behind this pulpit, nobody in our Bible studies ever water down the truth. Sonny, don't make us let it get away with it, man. Don't let us water down the truth. And here's the parable in a nutshell. Like the sower, God spreads his word widely amongst all kinds of people. Like the unfruitful soil, many will respond with less than saving faith. The first hearer does not respond because of the enticement of evil. He's held captive by a snare of the devil. The second hearer masquerades as one truly committed, but he doesn't hold out. The third hearer shows genuine interest and conviction about the truth that simply falls short because the rigorous demands of discipleship. Like the fruitful soil, the only legitimate response to God's word is obedience and, say it, perseverance, which demonstrate true regeneration, true conversion. I want everybody in here to be truly converted. And you know what? We can be, because God is a kind God. And as much as we have to tell him the truth, Joyce, we have a God who, yes, will bring wrath on this earth, but Joyce, you know it. We have a God who's merciful, who's kind, who put his own son on the cross for you. And if you, and I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. But we don't deserve what he's done for us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And at the end of the day, I remember when I was in prison. I might have said this because I repeat myself a lot, and I'm sorry. I remember when I was, I never believed this. I'm walking in prison, and I'm with a guy who got converted in prison, true conversion. I mean, he was never getting out of jail. And he was walking the yard, and he says, you know what, Dominic? Even if that I only get that God converted me here, and then at the end he's going to send me to hell, which is not going to happen. He says, you know what? I am still so glad that I found Christ now, and I can realize that I can live my life as someone who now loves the Lord. No matter what he does with me, I was saying, wow. Wow. Devon. He just appreciated the fact because he knew he was guilty before a holy God. And he told me in that yard, he says, even if God wants to send me to hell, I thank God for saving me for this time. And we know that theologically that's not right. But he was just so grateful. Because once he was blind, and now he can see. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Like the fruitful soil, the only legitimate response to God's word is the obedience and perseverance. We are to preach. Now here it is, Harlan, Ben, all the elders. We are to preach Christ and Him crucified, a stumbling block to some, but the power of God unto salvation to others. All lies in the sovereign hand and the providence of God. Let us take communion as ones that the mystery of the kingdom has been revealed. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom will have no end. I go back to my Isaiah text. In the day that King... No, I'm not going to start all over, Rachel. In the day that King Uzziah died, every kingdom, Ben, is going to have an end. But this kingdom that we belong, Jan, Devon, will have no end. Praise the Lord. That's good news. That's good news. That's the gospel. All right, what are we doing next?